Good afternoon. You're listening to Verum Sports on your Saturday afternoon. Of course you are. And today is the eve of International Women's Day. And we've got a mega treat. On the line, we have one of the most successful women in all of Great Britain athletics history. She is the only woman amongst an incredible elite club of five athletes from Great Britain's athletic history to get a golden sweep, golds at the Olympics, at the world's European and Commonwealth levels. I'm sure you've guessed it by now, but it is, of course, the legendary Sally Gunnell. Welcome back to Verum Sports, Sally. How are you?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you. What a lovely intro. Thank you very much.
I'm simply stating the facts, Sally. I'll tell you what an iconic career you enjoyed. Obviously, it is just the eve of International Women's Day. First and foremost, I want to kick things off, Sally. You've inspired a whole generation of British athletes, and that effect continues to ripple. But what advice would you give now for women aspiring to get into sport? And please forgive this pun, but maybe some of the hurdles that put them off.
Yeah, I think it's not to be deterred by when situations go wrong or that fear of failure. I always look back and I think, you know, sometimes I was scared of doing things because I was scared that I could actually fail. But actually, I realised that that fear of failure is a good thing because I think that can also push you on and make you achieve things that you thought you'd never, ever, you know, be able to do. So I think it's, encourage people as much as possible to get into sport, because I think it's not just around the physical side of it, but also the mental side of it does generally. And then not to be that scared of pushing yourself and putting you in yourself in a situation. Be brave.
I tell you what, that to be brave is such a simple but wise attitude, and it took you all the way to the top level. I guess what I really want to get your take on then, the culmination of all that, I'll never forget, it's etched into my memory, the iconic image, Sally, of you draped in the Union Jack at the 92 Olympics with sheer jubilation on your face. Can you just give us an insight into the emotions after all that hard work, overcoming all those fears, all that training in the cold, dark, to get a gold at an Olympic level, and the anthems blaring out? How did that feel?
Well, I think at the time it was disbelief. I just couldn't, you know, believe that I'd actually done this. And I think it was just because, you put everything into it. You know what you want, and I'd mentally prepared myself. I'd seen myself, you know, visualising this moment, and then for it to actually happen, you're not quite sure if this is it, and then if it's going to go away or whether it was a dream. And then I did a lot for the next couple of months of why me, how have I done this? And I think I was always one of those people, like many women are, that always put herself down and think we're not good enough. And I think eventually it was like, do you know what? You sacrificed lots in your life. You were determined. You trained hard, and you deserved it. And I think, you know, finally allowed myself to sink in. But it was an amazing moment, but one that, yeah, I found that I was questioning why I'd achieved this, which is horrible, isn't it? And it's often now when I look back when you do retire and you realise, and we've got people around us that are trying to get to Tokyo this year, you know, what it takes, and you just think, wow, I've done that, and you have time to sort of reflect really on it.
It's there, Sally. Again, it's in the records. It's there for eternity. And what an awesome achievement. Again, you are, of course, the only woman all time in Great British athletics history to claim that clean sweep. I think it is phenomenal. But, of course, you alluded to it. We are in Olympic year. Fingers crossed, coronavirus withstanding. I know you mentioned it there, the visualization, and I appreciate from talking to lots of elite level athletes that it's all about process and the little differences that over time add up. But surely the Olympics are a little bit different. It is the biggest sporting event on planet Earth. Give us an insight now into the emotions some of our elite athletes must be feeling in the run-up to Tokyo.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is what you dreamt about when you were little. It is the ultimate. And every waking hour, I know the athletes are out there down by the river now training in this horrible weather. It is what you get out for, but it is quite scary because you've got to get everything right, and there's lots of things that are thrown at you, and it's not all plain sailing to you know, to that day, but it's holding it all together. And as you say, it's all those little increments that all add up, you know, what you eat, what you sleep, all those little things that, you know, can really make that difference and make that edge. Because at the end of the day, all the people that are on that track, there's not a lot of difference between everybody. They're all very talented, and they all want this in some respects. And sometimes it's yes, you've got to have all those little bits. You've got to look at all those details, but you've got to have that real belief in your own ability and to have really have worked at that whole mind. And yeah, you know, the difference was I stood on that line knowing that this was my day, and if I didn't do it now, you'll never have this chance again. And that's what you want, to be able to get yourself into that place to be able to do that.
Cometh the hour and all of that. I just think it's absolutely fascinating that, as you say, at the ultimate level, there is so little between all the top stars. You mentioned there the mind, the visualization, the sense of assurance that was going to be your moment. Talk to me about the mental process in victory.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that had held me back for many years was that whole thing of, you know, worrying about the opposition, where they were, where they might be in a race, what could happen. And I think the difference for me was just, you know, running your own race and knowing what you are capable of executing, and what does that look like, and having that sort of clarity in your mind, and then spending time just visualizing that moment, that technique, the stride pattern that I had to do, everything about it. So, you know, you get yourself into a state really where, you know, I did it a couple of times in my career where you just go into that autopilot and you just, and it just happens. And that's because you've been there before and you've mentally, you know, the pressure that is on you and the mental preparation you've done has got you to that place. So, yeah, it's using all those elements almost to be able to get yourself there.
Brilliantly explained. Thank you. Love the Olympics. I love all elite level sports. I'm just an armchair pundit, quite frankly. But one of the things that I think makes it so rich and kind of talks the human condition is the intense rivalries between competitors. Ultimately, there can only be one gold medal winner. That's why it's so precious. You mentioned last time we spoke, around about a year ago now, Sally, about your personal rivalry with Sandra Farmer-Patrick. Just remind us about that. And again, how sweet was it to pip her to the post many a few times?
Yeah, I mean, rivalry is healthy. It's good to have rivalry. That's what spurs you on. I used to say that was the reason why I don't know, trained on Christmas Day, because I thought, well, she probably wouldn't be, you know, all those sorts of things. So I think rivalry is good, and I think having respect for your rivals is good, but I think there's no point in worrying about them all the time, because that's wasted energy. So I think about, you know, I think sometimes you run better if you've got people around you that are pushing. And sometimes you think, oh, wouldn't it be lovely if I was, you know, favourite by miles, which I had been on a couple of times, but that stops you from really pushing yourself and achieving what you're really capable of doing. So rivalry is good, because that gives you the real focus to go out and be able to do what you did. So, yeah, it was a healthy rivalry. You know, there wasn't many words between us when it came to the running track, but afterwards it was, yeah, we were good, and it was nice to reflect on what we had and what we achieved together in that respect.
And again, like you say, you two will always be etched in history. And again, it's just that pushing one another to ever higher levels. Olympic level, of course, is the highest. And what a great period for British athletics. I think they're the only Olympic nation to have improved the record haul across four consecutive games. They were, I know for a fact, the only nation to have improved the record haul post actually hosting it. So the trajectory of British athletics is amazing. Sally, two questions. Firstly, how intense is the pressure to surpass last year's 67 cumulative medals? And to what extent do you believe that lottery funding has contributed to this current success?
Yeah, I mean, lottery money has made a big difference. If you think back to when I won the Olympics in 92, there was five of us, you know, compared to what you just said, 67, you know, golds in Rio, which is, and that a lot of that is down to a lot of the athletes being full-time athletes, having amazing support, being able to train to the full, having medical backup and all those sorts of things. And yes, we hope to keep progressing. And I know, you know, that the lottery money has made a, you know, is still there and is making a big difference. I think you have to keep people hungry. And I especially know within athletics, it's sometimes, you know, you don't want to be complacent with lottery money. You still want to be hungry with it. And sometimes you find people come off lottery and they get angry because they've come off, but they run better. So it's making it work in the right sort of way, which I think the BOA has been very clever with, and making sure, you know, in UK sport, it gets to the right people, really. And it's there. And, you know, you have all the support and backup going out to the games. I mean, you know, with what we have going out as a nation going out to Tokyo, which, fingers crossed, is, you know, an amazing holding camp, an amazing build-up, and support, and people are ready. And I think that's been the difference and how we've improved year on year. I've noticed that other countries are starting to do the same, and are picking up on how we support the team and everybody. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see how we get on. And I think there was a bit of a reflection from the cycling last, you know, a couple of weekends ago, around how well we did leading up. You know, it was tough, and they're saying a lot of the nations are really catching up in what we had, and it's, you know, we keep pushing ahead and keep helping our athletes, but it's just, you know, others will find out and they'll carry on helping as well. But it's, yeah, it's good. The lottery money makes a big difference.
It's a copycat world, isn't it? If there's a model for success, people will model upon it and then tweak and refine. Always, we can only control the controllables. And good luck, of course, to all of our great British athletes on the run-up to the Tokyo Games. Sally, you've absolutely inspired a whole generation of stars. I'm sure that ripple effect continues. We mentioned rivalry moments ago and how good it can be if properly channeled. How does that apply internally? And I'm really fascinated to get your take on the eve of International Women's Day, two of our finest female hopes at the Games, Laura Muir, Gemma Reiki. For you, shades of Ovette Cram back in the day?
Well, isn't it amazing? You know, they're training partners, best friends, and yeah, they could be racing against each other. But you know, on the day, you won't be letting somebody get in the way. You know, they're massive competitors, even though they are best of friends, and they will be rivals on their day, and they'll do what they're needed to do. And yeah, and I think it goes back to that whole thing of, you know, how fierce you have to be, and, you know, you want to do the best that you can do, and you'll be out there training the hardest, and you know, and sometimes you astound yourself. And I know with Gemma, you know, in the indoors, you know, astounded herself and what she could actually capable of doing. And that belief that gives you to be able to push yourself on is enormous. And that's not just within sport, but that's in women generally. And I think it's really important that we keep inspiring each other, and, you know, feeding good positive thoughts into each other to, you know, because it's an amazing what we can achieve.
Sometimes we don't even know until we are pushed. I think that's a phenomenal element of the human component.
Yep.
Sally, I'd like to go back a little bit in time. What initially got you into sport? And obviously we associate you firmly with the 400-metre hurdles, but I think you started out as a long jumper and heptathlete. Just take us through the journey towards finding your niche at that very technical sport, the 400-metre hurdles.
Yeah, I mean, I joined a club when I was 12, and I was spotted by my coach, Bruce Longdon, at 14. So I just loved it. I loved the feeling of running fast. I loved the feeling of winning things. And it just took me quite a while. I was quite a good all-rounder, really, and I think that has really helped with, you know, with the 400 hurdles at the end of the day, because I think doing all the multi-events and doing the long jump and the 100 hurdles was such a great background for me, and you know, just natural strength that I was putting into the body at a very, you know, important age, really, as I was coming through my teens and early 20s. You know, it was an all-round sort of strength that I was able to put in, and I think it was, you know, trying to find where I could be the best at, and realizing the 100 hurdles I was never going to be the best in the world, and that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be the best person I could personally be, and I think everyone always says the 400 hurdles always finds you. You never find the 400 hurdles, and I think it was just realizing that, you know what, I haven't got enough speed, basic speed, for a sprinter, let's try the 400 hurdles. And it just took off straight away. And it was just, yeah, it was a match almost. And that was it. And I never looked back from that moment.
What a wonderful sensation it is in any walk of life where you just find that aspect, that whatever it might be, that just fits you. And it's awesome, Sally, that that was for you, the 400-metre hurdles. You mentioned not necessarily the greatest raw pace, but goodness me, 52.74 seconds to get around 400 metres and jumping over some, you know, some obstacles is mind-blowing. It remains, incidentally, a Great Britain 400-metre record, which is phenomenal. Want to get your real informed insight into this, because it blows my mind, the 400-metre hurdles. Such a technical sport, so technically demanding, because, as you say, it isn't just about that raw pace, but running at ludicrous speeds, nevertheless, but in a precise rhythm. How do you get that balance between pace, rhythm, steps, strides between hurdles?
Yeah, I mean, that's why the whole stride pattern is so important, because, it, you know, it's like a battery almost, and if you use that energy up in the wrong way, then that's when you hurt and that's when you climb those hurdles. So it's being as efficient as possible, and it's being as smooth and not being chopping into the hurdle, and it's, you know, it's almost, you know, holding that top speed, you know, as you can, as smoothly as possible for as long as you can, and then you hope you've got something left at the end. And I think that's the thing with the 400 hurdles, you can easily, you know, just chop in slightly and that energy level goes down, and then you're struggling to get it back up. So it's, yeah, it's just getting it all right, and there's so many things that could go wrong, and I think that's why I loved it. You didn't have time to think about, gosh, am I, maybe, you know, is my breathing wrong or whatever else. You're so concentrating on your stride pattern and your rhythm and stuff like that, and I think that's what I just loved. And I think having that multi-event background, which was so technical, really helped with me, you know, loving that technical side of it, really.
Do you know, the way you explain that, it sounds almost zen-like when you get into that flow. It must be a sensation that somebody like me in my lovely warm studio as an armchair pundit can only understand on the abstract, but to live it must be phenomenal.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you get it right, it is. It's the most beautiful feeling, and yeah, and it's, you know, it doesn't happen very often, and there's a lot of down and there's a lot of learning on the way, and that's what I sort of say to 400 hurdlers, you know, it's all about sighting and feel and all those sort of things, and that just doesn't happen overnight. So it's, you know, there's a lot of downtime and a lot of races that go wrong before you can get that perfect race, and probably those two perfect races, and they probably weren't 100% perfect, you know, only ever happened twice in that whole career that I had, really. I was still, you know, making mistakes and learning the whole event for many, many years. But, you know, luckily those two events was when it mattered, should I say.
Magic happens when you put in all the hard work, I find. Yeah. Anyway, coming back to International Women's Day, Sally, what advice would you give to youngsters, females in particular, listening in, who may be wanting to get into athletics or sport in general?
Yeah, I think, you know, not just into sport. I think one of the biggest things, and someone asked me the other day, what would I tell my 16-year-old self? And I think it is that thing that I said at the beginning. It is not being scared of failure. I think, you know, we're all so scared of not being able to do something that we never even try it, and we never even, you know, put ourselves on the line. And I would say, you know, that fear of failure is a good thing, and I think it's a really positive thing. And I think it's about embracing it, and I think it's about just getting out there. Let's try. And if it doesn't work, pick up the pieces and you move on, but you'll always learn something through it. And the times that, you know, I failed and I thought, gosh, right, I'm not going to let that happen again, and I move on. And then the other times where I'm scared as anything and I achieve something, I go, wow, how did I do that? So, yeah, just, you know, face your fears.
Tell you what, Sally, you've truly inspired me, I'm sure, an awful lot of other people. In closing, as well as being a phenomenal elite of the elite athlete, an ambassador for your sport, TV personality, I know you do an awful lot of exceptional things throughout society. Can you just give us a little bit of insight into your awesome work with well-being in the workplace?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a natural sort of progression, really, and I guess it's comes from how much I learned from my running days about, you know, having the support and an amazing team around me, and, you know, around, you know, sleep and recovery and the mind and all sorts of those sorts of things, and just wanting to be the best version that we can be. And I think that's been, again, not just within everybody's individually, but also I do a lot within, as you say, the corporate world, and getting the most out of everybody. Because, you know, we live in this very competitive rat race sort of world almost now, and it's about building that resilience up to be able to deal with day-to-day life and, you know, and what's going to be thrown at us, like, you know, all the virus that's going on, everything. And it's about building that resilience up, and that's exactly what I had to learn on the track as an athlete, and that's you know, basically what I pass on, and giving people the tools and to be able to be that best version that they can be.
Absolutely love it. Sally, if people are listening in and want to learn more about wellbeing in the workplace and get your insights in person, how can we do that? What's the best website?
Best thing to do is go to my website at sallygunnell.com and just have a look, and there's contacts on there if people want to get in touch.
Sally, I'll tell you what, it's been an honour and a privilege to spend a little bit of time with you this morning. I want you to have a truly awesome International Women's Day, a phenomenal year ahead, and I just want to thank you again for speaking to myself at Verum Sports. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you very much.